Welcome back to the Gilded Time Traveler. You're listening to Brittany. I made this podcast for all of the weirdos like me who enjoy fantasy and magic and folklore, but also history and fact and art. So let's just get started, and I hope you guys are having a really great day, and I hope that you enjoy this listen. Hey guys, it's Brittany. I'm so excited to start season two. And some girls asked me, when are you going to start back with your podcast? Are you done? And I was like, absolutely not. So I just wanted to make a few changes. I got this awesome new mic. I'm hoping that the sound quality is a little bit better. I do have a cold because it's winter time, and you know, I didn't want to wait till I don't have a cold to record, because then that may never happen. So we just got to tolerate my cold right now. Second of all, I wanted to update on life just a little bit. I don't remember if I shared any of my poetry with you guys. I feel like I did last season. And so what's exciting is I have released my poetry book. Shameless plug here. Please go on Amazon and look up under Brittany Phillips, Ashes in the Glen is Capital. A, Ashes in the Capital, G-L-E-N. It may be under fiction, but it is a poetry book. It's got around like 80 pages or so, I believe. It's $12. It is a nice, beautiful, hardback book. I'm so happy with it. I'm so excited that it's published. And lately I've been meaning to write more poetry, but I've written like one in the past few months since it's been released. Mainly because I'm trying to start back working on Rosaline, which I don't feel like is ever going to get finished. But I remind myself, Margaret Mitchell worked for 10 years before she released Gone with the Wind. So, let's just be patient with me. I keep telling myself I've got all the time in the world, you know. But it's hard with the children, you know, and sometimes a poem will like pop into my head, and I actually feel bad because I'll like shove it down into my brain and like make myself forget it, because I literally don't have time to write it down. I'm like, no, Brittany, no, you're working on Rosalind, you're working on your novel, like get it done. So maybe, no, not maybe, I know that eventually in the future I will create another poetry book, but you know, it takes a long time to come up with enough poems. You can't just sit there and force yourself to write. So I was really inspired by my friend Jennifer, probably mentioned that before, when she released her poetry book. And I'm hoping soon to have a poetry reading. The first bookstore that it was released in, another plug, go to historic downtown Springville if you live in Alabama, and it's beautiful down there. I love all the antique shops and the cafes. And this place is called the Nook. It's called Nichols Nook. It's a bookstore / like coffee shop. And it's so adorable. My book is also in the public library, in Aniana, and I'm kind of just starting to get it out there. So I'm gonna continue doing that. I'm also excited because I kind of inspired my son to, he wrote a story during quarantine. I'm sure he would be even better at it now, but I kept saying I was going to have it published for him. And so it took like, probably like a year and a half before I finally did that, almost like 2 years. And I finally was able to, since I had my book published, to help him with that. And, you know, pay for the illustrations and things like that. And it is called The Brothers Bounty Hunters. So you can look that up on Amazon. It's perfect for boys around maybe like age, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, something like that. this cold. I should have got a cough drop with my coffee. So I'm trying to think what else I'm excited about. Let's see. Oh, we're going to see Celtic Woman in about 2 weeks. It's going to be in Montgomery. We're going to, not have the kids, and hopefully we can make like a whole little mini trip date night thing out of it. I have the most gorgeous green dress. And to me, it just really reminds me of something that Celtic women, like, would wear in one of their videos. And I always overdress for these events, but, like, I mean, come on, can you really ever be overdressed? I mean, that's just me, I'm a little dramatic. So, I hope I look pretty. I've been trying to, like, lose weight because I gained weight over the holidays. I think we all did. I'm constantly trying to lose weight. So, now I'm just trying to get back to normal, basically. Let's see. I'm excited that Outlander starts back also on March the 6th. I think so. I know you guys love hearing me talk. So, oh, I'm so ready for that. Like, I just want to cry every time I see the trailer and I've been reading. Oh, that reminds me of something else. So, yesterday, as you know, St. Patrick's Day is coming up in, what, maybe like 5 weeks or something like that. And so, I always, like, we might leave out, like, a little treat for the leprechauns. And so, the kids get gifts from the leprechauns on St. Patrick's Day, kind of like the Easter Bunny on Easter. So I went yesterday and bought all kinds of little goodies that had like rainbows and like lucky charms, and they had like this little bell and it says ring for luck, and just a lot of cute things to put out for them. I haven't decided like how I'm gonna set it up or do a basket, you know, just make them share it all or divide it up. I get really excited planning for St. Patrick's Day because, for obvious reasons, I've said before that, like, you know, I'm Irish and English, and my husband's Scottish and Irish, and we're just, if you weren't around for season one, we're, like, really, really rooted in that, like, in our, I'm pretty sure that I lived a past life in Europe. Speaking of Europe, I was excited to see that I've had over 1,000 listens over the world since I began this in 2020, male and female. Some of them are even in Europe, so that was really exciting for me to see. I remember when I released my first episode and it said I had like 300 plays or something. I was like, I'm famous, you know. But just being able to like reach people and have something that is productive for me to do, along with like my photography, my writing, whenever I get to do my theater. And then I think I told you guys before that I had started working with a company that sends out like singing Disney princesses to birthday parties exactly a year ago, actually. So that's been exciting. I have played Cinderella, Belle. I was on the news. We've done some charity events. I've been Elsa in a Christmas parade. And our group is really great because they're all like trained actors and singers. And I guess another plug, if you are anywhere near Birmingham, Alabama, look up the Enchanted Princesses and hire us for your next event or birthday party, or ask for me. So then also I joined a book club, but it's not your average book club. Have you guys heard of these silent reading clubs? Well, apparently they really kind of originated when quarantine started and people were, like, not able to do their normal, like, clubs and things. So it started because, like, a friend of a friend had a Harry Potter-themed Halloween session, I guess. And I saw it and I was like, oh my gosh, I want to do it. And they invited me and they're so sweet. I love, like, meeting kindred spirits and people who are like me, and there were girls of all ages. There's probably like 5 of us. We meet in the person that kind of runs it, her home, and she has her own library, like room, not a library, like in a room of the house, like I do. She has an entire room, and when I walked in, I was just like, I was starstruck almost. Like, that's the only reaction I can think of to like compare it to. Like, I kept looking around at all of her like leather bound copies that she gets of all the books that I want, and there were like fairy tales from Ireland, and of course, all the Lord of the Rings, and these like cool mismatched chairs for us to sit in, and you get blankets, and there's tea, and there's, like, snacks, and, like, tea time snacks, and then they play this, like, light music that just has this ambiance to it, and we all just, like, come comfy, and I wore this, like, cute little beret, and then we all just, you know, I was like, so you just sit there quietly and read. I was like, I understand, so we don't talk? Well, some of them you don't, but this one we do. I guess it is sort of more like a book club in that sense, because we kind of explain in a circle, like, here's what I'm reading, here's what I brought, and you can bring multiple books. Because, like, for instance, me, I finished a book while I was sitting there. And it's like a 3-hour thing. So you want to have, like, a backup, or you can borrow from her library. And you say, this is why I'm excited about this book. This is what I like about it. You know, and then when we're done, we explain a little bit more. And it's cool because then another person in the group, you know, I had this happen to me. They're like, oh, that sounds so good. Like, let me look that up on my Goodreads. And I was like, Goodreads? What is Goodreads? I can't believe I'm just now truly, like diving into this app. So if you're a real reader, you know, get the Goodreads app and make a profile. I also have an author's profile now, which is really cool. For obvious reasons, because I am now. And you can find my picture, you know, my name and my book and bio and things like that on there. But you add all the books you've ever read, which is basically impossible. I couldn't tell you most of the books I read growing up in school or, like, even in high school. I can tell you the main ones, the obvious ones. So it's, you're not going to be able to put everyone you've ever read. Not if you're, like, a true, like, book lover. Now, there are some girls in there who say they have grown children. And they'll read, you know, 30 books in a year, which is great. I only make it through, you know, I don't know, maybe like 10. It kind of depends. Yeah, let's get a sip of coffee. you know, just because maybe you don't have as much going on and you can read more. I feel like I'm dying a little bit, guys. Excuse me. So, anyways, I introduced it to my husband, to my son, so they got the apps. And what's cool is first you put the books you've read, then you put a review. Then it will suggest more books to you by that author. You can follow the author's page. So it'll say, well, this is what's new from that author. Or it'll suggest similar like genre, like anything in that genre that they feel like is something that you might like. So you get new ideas for books that you can get and start to read. Then they have a whole new category or another category where you can go in there and basically put all the books you want to read. And then there's a separate category for the books you are currently reading. It lets you update where you are to the page. And here's why that helps me. Most people read one book, finish it, and put it down, right? No. Anybody that knows me knows I'm reading like 4 or 5 books at a time. Maybe that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but a few at a time. Because, like, I'm not in the same mood every single time that I read, so I may want to read a different book. So I can stay stuck 75% done with a book for 6 months. So I've got to get better on that. So I'm able to update. Okay, remember, Brittany, you need to finish these 3 books. Do not start another one before you finish these. You're on this page. You're almost done. Like, get it done. Write the review. And in a way, it's social media because you can add friends on there, people you know or you don't know, and you can see all of theirs, all of their books that they have read or that they recommend and things like that. Another cool thing is they have a scanner. And you can just scan the book if you don't want to look it up or find the information for it. And it'll just say, okay, this is the book that you are reading or that you have read. You can even do that like at the store, at the library, and remind yourself like, hey, I want to get this. I think it's really cool. And not an app that I mind my child having. You know, I mean, it's better than TikTok. Even though I like TikTok. you know, not for my 9-year-old son. Let's say there was other things I was going to tell you guys. But before I go much further, let me take a little break. because I need to cough really badly. And let's just go to an advertisement, and I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back, I think. Okay, so the first thing that I wanted to talk about this season is this new audiobook that I it's just a series that I have started and kind of become obsessed with a little bit. I think I started it maybe back in like December, and so far I'm like 5 books in, you guys. Some of them are novellas, but I believe that listening to an audiobook is the same as reading, and it has been proven that like it taps into the same receptors in your brain that actually looking at a page and reading does. So it does the same thing for you. So I when I finish an audiobook, you know, I will add that to my Goodreads list. Let's see, that's another thing that I like about both the Goodreads and my book club is that we have goals that we try to meet by the end of the year, and we have good ideas like that may say read a book and then listen to the same audio book, or read something out of a genre that you don't normally read. And that's what's exciting about this book series. You also have to bear with me. I feel like I say that every single episode. I'm so sorry if you guys are dealing with a cold too. It seems like I just got over one a month ago, honestly. And then before that, it was like 3 months before that when I had to be like on medication and everything for it. So maybe it's an aging thing, because I feel like colds didn't affect me that much when I was younger. Okay, anyways, let's not get off subject. So what I'm so excited about, they're called the Mystic Bayou series or books, and they are by Molly Harper. They are exclusively on Audible right now. And I want to say that there's 7 books out now, including the novellas. And I was so excited because right when I looked a few weeks ago, it just so happened that she released the last book. So, like, I was like, oh no, it's over. But then she showed that there was another one she had just come up with. Like, it was a surprise. And I was like, yay, there's one more. But just knowing that, like, it's going to end is already giving me anxiety, and it's making me sad. So, I'm going to give you the rundown a little bit. The people who narrate these, what's cool about these is it's not the same narrator the entire time, like trying to butcher all the different voices. And that's something that used to throw me off and kept me from listening to audiobooks. Was trying to listen to all these different voices, especially when like a female is trying to sound like a guy. I usually don't like that. And so, with these, she splits it up. Amanda Ronconi does the female parts, because the way that her books are done, say, chapter 1, it's got the main female protagonist, that chapter is named after her. Then chapter 2 might be the male protagonist. So it'll be named after the male. And, let's see, what's Nick? You know, I love Amanda so much that I've already forgotten the name of the guy, but it's Nick. Oh, it's Nick something. Anyways, so he does the male parts, but they're still expected to read, say, the female part. And then the Amanda is also expected to read the male characters. But what I do like about this is every single one of her books is done by the same narrator. So you get so, like, highly attuned to their voices that it doesn't bother you. You know their voices. And that's something that I love also about, you know, when you get really, really locked into a series, you truly fall in love with their characters. It's like a family. And then you feel like they're your family. You know? That's how I've gotten with these books. And that's why I'm so sad, knowing that, like, it's drawing to an end. It's nearing its end for me, because I only have 2 books left. I'm just so into it, and that's why I thought I had to share it. And I promised there'd be a lot more magic. And this is a fantasy series. Another thing is, I usually don't read fantasy. That's my husband's, like, forte. I like to watch fantasy, but as you know, I typically read my, like, inspirational or Christian historical fiction, you know, like a romance set in a certain time period. That's what 90% of my books are. So, I'm finding it increasingly difficult to speak. It's like the more I talk, the more my symptoms want to act up. And I know that's not very comforting. And I like to listen to podcasts where the voices are comforting. So it's not a good way to start out this season. So I'm really passionate about this series and the characters, and that's why I wanted to explain them. So I'm so glad I found it, because it's funny. I don't usually read funny books, but I would, like, lay in bed at night. I would find myself looking so forward all day to laying down in bed at night and listening to these books. And I would just laugh at the characters. And I'm so glad I found it, you guys. And I'll tell you how I found it. I wanted to find something that had fairies in it, and I looked it up, and I ended up reading a book halfway down the you know, the list. It was not in order. And I do that all the time. Like, I'll find an audiobook and then I love it and I realize, oh, it was the second book. And then I gotta go back and listen to the first one. So it still makes sense, but, like, it's totally out of order. So I had read 2 books before I realized I had to completely start over. So, Mystic Biome. It's different because it's not your typical werewolf and vampire witch fantasy thing. Even though there's some dragons in fairies, it's usually always, you know, you're either stuck in that witches and werewolves and vampires, or you might have, like, the wizards and the dwarves and the dragons and things like that. So, don't get me wrong, I'm getting the narrator and the author mixed up now, which there is a cute video of them on YouTube, where they finally get to, like, interview one another, she does write those books, like the vampire werewolf type books. And I keep telling myself, okay, when this is over, like, read them because you might like them or listen to them. But I'm like, no, I just love Mystic Bayou. I only want Mystic Bayou. And it kind of reminds me a little bit of True Blood, which I used to be obsessed with. maybe that's even where she got the idea from. That's definitely a possibility. I'm going to say, let's see. It's kind of like, it reminds me of it because it's about shifters. I'm trying to think of the correct way to explain this to you. Most of the people, instead of humans, they are shifters. So, okay, sorry guys, I had to take a coughing break. They're shifters, meaning that they can shift from their human form into basically any kind of creature. Like, she really did her homework on all the mythical creatures of the world. Because there's things in there I've never even heard of. Like, you've got your typical, there's a dragon shifter, a bear shifter, a phoenix shifter. But there's also really funny ones.
One will is a porcupine shifter, but it's not just shifters. There's also energy manipulators and witches, basically, is what they are. There's even a banshee, and I didn't even know what a banshee was, so I had to look it up. And in this series, the banshee's a male, which like basically never happens, actually. So, they basically see a person's death and then they have to like scream. So, not a fun gift to have. They're like immortal and All right. So, now that I've had another coughing break. Let's see. Okay, so there's also fairies, or they just refer to them as fae. There's all different kinds. And so it starts out by talking about Jillian. Jillian is an anthropologist who works for the League. Now, the League is basically like an undercover secret agency that put itself in charge of the Magique, which is what they call themselves, without being appointed, if that makes sense. So they're kind of scary. Imagine them basically being like, I can't believe I'm making this reference now, but a Twilight, which I loved Twilight, so I don't know why I'm ashamed to say that. But in Twilight, they would have been the, what are they called? Oh no, it's been so long I can't remember. I can't even think of what they're called. You know, the Italian, like the Italian family. They were Italian, right? What is that called? The Volturi. The Volturi. That's it. That's it, guys. Okay, so they're kind of like that. And then even in True Blood, they had something similar. I can't even remember what that was called. Nope, can't think of it. And I don't want to waste your guys' time. So, Jillian is appointed this new job, and she has to go to Louisiana to the bayou, to Mystic Bayou. And when she comes there, it just seems horrible. It's tiny, it's in the middle of nowhere, and she notices that, like, the one stoplight where there's, like, downtown or whatever, there's the main building's got like a dragon on the top. She thinks that's a little odd. A little bit of foreshadowing there. So basically, she's there because there's a rift at this place called the Le Fay. And it's a site on the bayou where nobody goes because there's something there and nobody knows what that's actually causing. This huge energy rift where if you get close to it, it can basically crush your brain and kill you with so much pressure. And it's causing humans in town to turn into magic. So people who have always been human are like having these magic babies, which causes a little bit of questions. And or just humans just shifting who have never been one before. And spoiler alert, that actually happens to Jillian by the end of the book. So, she sat there kind of to find out, like, what, I don't, like, what was going on, like, we gotta fix it, someone's gotta be in charge of all of this stuff. And so, she's from the cities, she's not really used to all this, so, then she meets who I never thought of until I read something the other day that said that the mayor is actually the main character of the entire series. You don't think so, but he is. He's like, he's the heart. Like he's the heart of the series, and he really is. Because he's my favorite character. His name is Zed Baron. His best friend is Bael, Bael. It's like a dragon name. Boone. His family is rich. Basically has nothing to do with him.
because he decided to serve and protect Deputy the Sheriff, and they didn't feel like that was good enough, and they own everything in the town, all the businesses, and they're just really snooty. And he has a horde, just like any other dragon. Apparently, when you come to Mystic Bayou, it's considered rude to ask someone what their shifter form is. If they tell you, it's fine. So, like, you don't find out immediately what everyone's is. And the way that Mystic Bayou came to be is that, I think, like, maybe it was in, like, the 1700s or the 1800s, somebody accidentally figured out that they were shifters, and to keep them there from being, like, a war at the time, because this is before the Boones came to town, the Bear family, were, like, the only ones big enough to protect all of them if the humans tried to attack them. So, the patriarch, I guess you'd say, kind of came, and it's kind of a running joke. Zed always tells the story, and he says, my great, 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 great. Every time he says, like, granddad dropped his pants. Because, you know, when you shit, kind of like a werewolf shifting, like, you shred your clothes. Turned into a bear. And was basically like, look, you can either live beside us, learn to put up with us, and we can get along, and we can even help you guys, or we can do this if that's what you want to do. So the fairies ended up helping in a lot of ways because they had healing powers and things like that, and there were a lot of cool things that the humans could learn. So Mystic Bayou is different in the rest of the world because this is the only place where people know that there are these magic and live side by side with them. So when people who work for the League, who obviously know about it too, and their job is basically to keep it undercover, you know, think of like when you watch vampire movies and it's their job to make sure nobody knows about vampires and blah, blah, blah. So that's why Jillian is sent there. And Zed is the bear shifter. And it's so funny because, like, he's supposed to be this massive, gorgeous, bearded, long-haired biker dude. And so when you first see him, you're a little intimidated by him. Then you're like, wait, how did you become the mayor? And then it turns out he's actually this super-duper-duper sweet, kind, soft-hearted, loving, likes to play with rubber duckies in the bathtub type of guy. Don't get me wrong, like, he'll kill you. He will kill anyone to protect the ones that he loves. But his heart is so big. He loves the people there so much, and that's why he makes a great mayor, and that's kind of how he became the mayor, because of his family history. They've always just been, the barons have always been the mayor. So, Bael, you'll never know his true dragon name. Well, until the end of the book. But he's supposed to be tall and lean and blonde and, like, really sharp features, you know. Also gorgeous. Well, he sees Jillian, and of course they don't get along at first. But then they start to slowly fall in love, and you find out that, what's happening is there's some sort of ancient artifact that is in the ground that's causing this change, this rift. But in every book, this is what's cool about these books. Not only do you have the comedy and the romance and the fantasy and the magic, but there's also like a murder mystery. Just like you have like the League and the, well, I guess you could say the good guys working for the greater good of the magic community, you've got bad guys who are sometimes in the League, but they're working for their own devious purposes. So they're trying to, say, murder anybody in their way and release this artifact so that the rest of the world will have to turn magique, and the magique should run the world, not humans. Kind of like you see in every vampire movie and things like that. So, of course, like I said, there's, like, a murder, a couple murders, Bael feels the need to protect Jillian, blah, blah, blah. They move in together. Then the second book is about Zed. And I think I should also say that this series started in 2018. Zed meets Dany. Dany is sent by the League. She's an energy manipulator. So she's there to kind of work with this artifact and basically try to repair the rift, I guess, if that makes sense. And she can get closer to it than most people can. But she can still die. So Zed basically falls in love with Dany. She's kind of perfect for him because she's like a no-nonsense, not even very like girly, well-built, stacked girl, which is kind of like what he needs. Zed literally lives, you get a little bit more insight into him. He lives in a cave that he built himself. kind of like Bael's got, his hoard, which is off in the mountains in a cave, an actual cave that no one can find. And him and Jillian make love. They say Scrooge McDuck style on his, like, pile of gold. I'm telling you, it's so good. I'm addicted. So, they get together in that book. Then in the third book, it's called Silkies Are a Girl's Best Friend. And I was like obsessed with reading that one because I have a thing for Silkies because of like the Scottish lore, obviously. I've always enjoyed movies that are about the same thing. And it's about a male Silkie. If you don't know what Silkies are, don't know if I explained this before, I may have. But it is, some people like call them mermaids. Like he gets referred to as a mermaid a lot. Or a merman, but they're really different. This would be typically a female who is a seal in the water, say in a lock or something, I don't know, wherever they are, and they may come onto land and they're beautiful, but they don't really speak. I don't think, and so men fall in love with them, and if they capture their seal coat and hide it, that means that they'll belong to them forever. But that usually leads to, like, they'll get married and have children, but then the Silkie will always yearn for the water again, and so eventually find their seal coat again, go back in the water and leave, and it's kind of a heartbreaking ending for everyone. but I like it. So, he is from there, but he went, and became like a big shot doctor, came back to town to be the only doctor, falls in love with Sonia, who is Jillian's best friend, who worked with the League. She's like they call her the most competent person you'll ever meet because she's in charge of everything. She can do anything you want as fast as you want. She's super, like, high fashion, all business type person. And they fall in love. So the recurring theme is basically that you know that in every book, someone from the League is being sent there and will fall in love with someone in Mystic Bayou and settle down there and choose to stay there. So that's how you grow this community and this family in this book. And that's how you love the characters, because in the next book, you know they're going to be there. So they're all besties and and everything. And then the problem is that it starts to grow. Let's see. There's a novella. The first one that I read, it's called Even Tree Nymphs Get the Blues. And it kind of will shed light on some of the other characters who may not be the main characters, but there are other characters in town. one is Ingrid. She is a type of Nordic tree nymph, so she's got this really ethereal, probably the most gorgeous person in town. Like, it hurts to look at her. She's got an accent. type of vibe. And she gets with Will Carmody. No, because that's the doctor. Rob, that's right. So it's basically doing world building, and I love that. You know, you get a good book series or something if you deal with world building, because now you can visualize the town, all the people. You may not hear about certain characters till the next book. Maybe they're just a footnote, but you know that they're there. Well, she comes there, oddly enough, and that was the first one I read, to start a creamery. She wants to have her own cows and make ice cream in town. So I'm like, I gotta read that. What is it? I'm like, so a fairy, a Nordic fairy, who has a very thick accent, comes to the bayou in Louisiana to have cows, which she names, and make homemade ice cream and sells it in town. So then it's cool, because then the rest of the series you hear everyone's going to get the ice cream from the ice cream shop, and her cows have names and have a plaque, and she'll put a plaque every week up and says, well, this cow enjoys Bon Jovi and this show. You know, it's just so funny. But I would be remiss if I did not mention that the most popular place in town is the pie shop, and it's owned by a Boone, Bathilda, which is, you know, one of the sheriff's relatives, but there's a thing called a brownie, and it's like a type of fairy from Ireland, and it's this little person, this little old lady, and she makes the pies. Well, it turns out her magic, she can tell what you need emotionally and mentally and spiritually in your life that day at that time. So she sprinkles these pies with this magic. So it's a running joke to every new person in town that comes in, and they're like, well, this is the only eatery mainly in town, so you can get bacon with it, but that's basically if you want a full meal. And you're like, okay, how do these people survive? They're like, okay, I want to get this. And like, no. It's better if you let her choose for you. And they're like, why can I not choose my own pot? And they're like, trust us. So if you choose your own pot, it's like it has no flavor almost. But if you let the pie maker choose the pie for you, it's apparently the most divine thing you've ever tasted. So people eat there for like breakfast and lunch every single day. They have these pie breaks. And they're known for their chocolate rhubarb pie, which sounds gross. So anyways, the town really revolves around it, almost like, don't you love my references here? Once upon a time, Granny's Diner. Anytime something happens or it's the end of an episode, where does everyone like congregate? Granny's Diner. God, I miss Once Upon a Time. Okay. So before I get too sidetracked with that, let's see, then I'm going to go ahead and start telling you guys the names of the books in order, because they're kind of, like, cheeky. How to Date Your Dragon is the first one. I do. The second one is Love and Other Wild Things. And the third one is Silkies Are a Girl's Best Friend. Then you've got Even Tree Nymphs Get the Blues. And then, I could be getting wrong here because I'm getting towards the end, but I think it's Always Be My Banshee. And then I just finished up One Fine Fae, which is a novella. And then Shifters in the Night and A Farewell to Charms. They're full-size books. They're usually about 6 to 9 hours long. The novellas are like 3. And unlike most audiobooks, I don't even like listening to them in the car, because I'm like so into it. And by the way, there's like cursing and things that I don't want my kids to hear. So I try to only pay attention and like lay there at night when I'm alone, or my husband has to put up with it. So eventually what happens is they take care of this artifact and all the people that keep murdering everybody. So you think, okay, no, it's like wrapping up or whatever. But no.
We just got started now into what happened is, of course, somebody in the country, not Mystic Bayou, shifted in front of a bunch of people YouTubing, you know, on their camera phones because they got mad, and now the rest of the world knows that the magic exists. The whole reason Jillian was sent there was to write a book explaining, this is how this blended community works. Humans living side by side with the magic. Because I know that eventually, there's kind of a joke, Sasquatch can't hide forever from Google Maps. Eventually, they would come out and they wanted to prepare for that instance and have this basically manual on how to deal with it. So they give everyone these manuals, but you got to try to imagine also what the rest of the world is like thinking. At first, they're really scared of them. Okay, anyway, so spoiler alert. The novella I just finished up, Bale and Jillian, who becomes a phoenix shifter, have a dragon baby. It's a human baby in a giant metal dragon egg that she has to carry in her stomach and then deliver as a phoenix. And they hire this, it's a different kind of fae, and they're Romani, and they're what you call, like, the godmother top fairies, the kind of like in, like, Sleeping Beauty, where they give babies gifts. So that's why they're midwives. See, it all makes sense here. She falls in love with Leonard, who ironically had a fairy curse put upon his family centuries ago or something like that, and she lifts it and blah blah blah. Then the banshee fell in love with a telekinetic, I think. or maybe that's what Dani was, the energy. I think that's another word for an energy shifter. So they refer to her sometimes as a witch, but she's not like a witch, you know what I mean? What this girl can do, she can actually touch it. She can touch the artifact and speak to it. It's like almost like a telepath, is that what it's called? And then she can kind of like put her brain images into your brain. That's the reason she falls in love with the banshee, because the banshee is basically dead himself. So when she touches an object, she feels all the sadness related to that object, as if it was happening to her, say like a knife or something. She feels nothing when she touches him, and that's great because she's never been able to touch people. So thus she loses her virginity to him. We're not going to go there, but you can kind of guess how that goes. Now I think I'm about to read Shifters in the Night. I believe it's to all new people. A Farewell to Charms looks like it's going to be about an actual witch, and AJ, who came to town about a book ago or two, people don't like him yet. He's really like high society, kind of snooty, rigid. He used to date the girl I was just talking about. So there's like history there, but she ends up choosing Brendan the Banshee anyways, who also has this fabulous Irish accent because he's literally from Ireland. And of course, he chooses to settle down in Mystic Bayou. So Zed is freaking out at this point because he loves this little town. But it's going to grow because people know now, even though they try to keep it a secret, about this town. So at first they were worried people are going to move here because of the rift. They want to be changed into magical creatures, obviously. But that has been taken care of and won't happen anymore. But still, he's like, we gotta have more than one spot, stoplight, and they want to talk to our, like, commerce and things like that, our, you know, who's in charge of that, and they're like, we don't have any of that. He's like, I don't want our town to develop into this big city that I'd, you know, he wants to keep it the way it is. So I'm interested to see what becomes of that, because like it can't stay the same as much as we love Mystic Bayou. And I've said the entire time I'm reading this, this needs to be made into a show. It'll probably end up being a show that I don't like. because, you know, they usually end up ruining it. If I read something and then watch it, I don't like it most of the time, aside from maybe like Harry Potter or Twilight. But the other way around is like if I watch the show and I love it, I don't always care as much for the book. Like the Outlander book, I've read it and I like it, but not near as much as the show. So I'm like, I don't believe it's famous enough, even though it was one of the most popular books on Audible pretty much the last couple of years. It's kind of getting like a following, you know? I mean, really, you can look on the top read books or listen to books and it's on there. And so I feel like this would make such a great TV series. You couldn't do it as a movie. It wouldn't be done right. But as long as they did it right, but they never capture the characters the way I see them in my mind. And I suppose that everyone feels that way. You know what I mean? When they do this world building in their head on a series and everything. I would just want to really get everyone's personalities the way that I see it. And plus, they always try to change things from the books. You know, this person doesn't look like they described it in the book, and that didn't happen. And I will go insane if that were to happen. So maybe one day in the future it'll happen. Don't think it's quite popular enough, because right now it's not a book. They're only on Audible until 2026. She does have other books out there, though. So I'll let you guys know later on, possibly, if I... when I finish the series, what I thought about those last two books, or if I decide to start her other books. I feel like I'm too old to read vampire books, though. So, I don't know. I feel like it deserves more credit than it gets. And it's so unique in the way that it's different kinds of magical creatures than what you typically hear about. I think that's what I really like about it. And I think that's what people would honestly like to see. Like, a man who runs and changes into a giant bear. I mean, that would be pretty cool. So, I think I've kind of, you know, circled back around to most of the main points. Yeah, and I guess that's about it. So I'm going to wrap up this episode. I somehow managed to not cough too badly the last like 15, 20 minutes. I don't want to jinx it. I promise you guys, I will not do another episode until this cold is over with. And I hope that it ends soon, because I can't do any singing or anything that I might have to do until that happens. I had a lot of fun recording this episode. I'm thinking about getting some new cover art. You know, share this episode, share this podcast. I swore myself that this season was going to be better, and then I started off with this horrible cough and cold, and the more I talk, the more my throat feels like it's closing. So, thank you guys. Please look up this series. I really wish that Molly Harper would, like, find out about it herself, and I spoke to her. I even emailed her from her website, and she spoke back to me, and I thought that that was really cool. So I'm going to go figure out what I'm going to do for the rest of the day. And I hope you guys enjoy your day. And I hope that you enjoyed listening to this. And let's just think about what the next episode is going to be. All right. See you guys later.